Tonight in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1:9, let's look at this verse, and tonight we'd like to talk about God's purpose for your life. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But certainly that word there is a significant word, who saved us according to His purpose. One of the questions I enjoy asking on the university campus is I enjoy asking students, what's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of life? And some of them are honest, and one was frankly very openly honest with me this last week. He said, I have no idea. I have no idea what the purpose of life is. You know, you think about that. You know, animals have a purpose. Birds have a purpose. Insects have a purpose. I mean, in the whole plan of creation, obviously the moon has an important purpose. And the sun has a tremendous purpose in our solar system. I mean, you think of all the inanimate things that around the creation, they all have a purpose. Now, we may not know what they are, but they have a purpose. Of course, every organ in our body has a purpose. You know, not, you know, evolution, when it was really, you know, getting people's attention, got people to think that, you know, there's some vestigial organs, you know. You have organs that don't have any purpose. And so, you know, just yank them out, you know, yank out those tonsils, you know, as soon as you can. Got a little problem with them, yank them out. And if you have a little problem with this or that, yank it out. And, well, you know, ask the person who had their gallbladder removed if life is as easy as it, if life is really, really easy after they get the gallbladder out. No, there's a lot of foods they can't eat, and they have a lot of problem with some foods that can't digest well. And, you know, every organ has a purpose. God made it that way. And, you know, we do have a purpose in life. Young person, you have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Now, thinking of this verse, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 16. It gives us a little a sense of our purpose. And of course, man was created in the image of God. Man was created to have fellowship with God. We have here a verse that kind of helps us see the purpose of our life. And talking about Jesus Christ, verse 16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Every one of us was created to bring praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, of course, talks about how that he saved us according to his own purpose. And then he says, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We have a purpose. Every believer, every person was created for a purpose, and that central to that purpose was to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about how that applies. So everybody has a purpose in life. Now obviously people who are not saved and who don't know the Lord, well, they're going to really have a difficult time really having a purposeful life. And of course, we live in a day in which a lot of people are just floating. No purpose. You know, you ought to talk to your coworkers. There's got to be more to life than going to work every day, going home, eating, sleeping, getting up early in the morning, going to work, working all day, getting tired, get home, eat a little bit, maybe have a little bit of time, then sleep, get up early, go to work. Obviously, there's more to life than that weary round. Ask your friends what's the purpose of their life. If that's what the purpose of life is, well, it isn't the purpose of life, and they know it's purposeless. Then you're going to die someday, and whatever you made out of that, it's all going to be left behind, etc. So we have a general, everybody has a purpose in life. That general purpose is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Now, God also has a specific purpose for every person. In that realm of bringing glory to Jesus Christ, he has a specific purpose for every believer. Obviously, we see that in the Bible. We see in Acts chapter 9, immediately when the Apostle Paul was saved, God said, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 9. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, that's Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, the Apostle Paul had a specific purpose. His purpose was to bear the name of Jesus Christ before kings. His name, his purpose was to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. To that point in Christianity, that hadn't taken place yet. God had a plan. God had a purpose. So God has a purpose for our life. Now, as a believer, number one, in order to get a sense of God's purpose, a person needs to be saved. You got to be saved. And then, immediately, when a person gets saved, they recognize that they do have a purpose. Immediately, when a person gets saved, they understand they have a purpose, which is a purpose for every believer. You know, when someone gets saved, immediately they have a sense, hey, other people need to hear this, right? Other people need to know how to be saved. Well, we do have a purpose. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every person needs to come to Jesus Christ because Christ died for the world. And it is right that that people get saved and bring glory to Jesus Christ who died for them. God has a purpose for your life. And it's the same, that's a general purpose, every believer. Now, if we aren't focused on that, guess what? We're missing God's purpose for our life. We're missing. And but God also has a specific purpose for our life. A specific purpose. Now, think of Matthew chapter 25. And I know that there's a principle here and we're applying this. But we have the parable of the talents. And talks about how in the parable, a man was going to a far country and he entrusted his goods to his servants. And he gave to one servant 5 talents, another 2, and one, another 1. And, of course, these talents are denominations of money that represented his household and his household of goods. But we are reminded that we live in a dispensation of grace. And the word dispensation is the word of the household of affairs. We've been entrusted with goods by the Lord in this dispensation to carry out the gospel, to do his will. And, you know, every person is different. Romans 12 talks about the different gifts, natural gifts that people are given at birth. And speaks that, you know, God has a specific purpose for our life. And we've been equipped to do God's will. And we are equipped singularly. We are gifted uniquely. We are gifted for a specific end and purpose. God has a plan. And what if we miss that plan? What if we miss that plan? Just make a preposterous illustration. Well, God says, I want you to, I want you to build A-frame houses. And you get to heaven and God says, I want you to build A-frame houses. And you said, well, I didn't like building A-frame houses. I wanted to build circular houses. Well, was that person, are they going to be rewarded by the Lord? When he had a specific purpose for their life, and they decided to do what they wanted to do. How could it be? How could it be? So we have a general purpose, we have a specific purpose that God has for our life. Do you know what it is? Do you really know what God wants you to do? Now, we aren't going to be able to spend much time there, but obviously Romans 12 makes it clear that in order to experience God's perfect will for our life, we have to surrender our lives completely to Him. And you know, that seems like old hat, but the fact is, there needs to be a surrender. There needs to be a presentation of our life to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And you know, it isn't, young people, it isn't a Baptist ritual. You know, oh, I gave my life to the Lord. No, uh-uh. That has just become old hat words. No, it's an actual specific, complete surrender of our life to God. That's what it takes. And if there's not a surrender, we might be building roundhouses instead of A-frames because we want it to do it our way. Now, think about some of the benefits of and the principles, the benefits of being, having a purposeful life. Well, number one is that a person who has purpose has focus. A person that has purpose has focus. There's a great verse in Isaiah, Isaiah 50 and verse 7, and it speaks of Christ, and it speaks of his, it's prophetic of Christ, and that the Lord had set, had purposed, has set his focus on the cross. And it says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." He said, "I've set my face like a flint. I'm never going to be deterred. I'm never going to be taken to the side. I'm always going to keep my, I'm focused. My face is set like a flint. I got my eyes on the goal." Christ had his eyes on the cross. He was focused. Take your eyes off of that focus of God's plan for your life, and you're going to be easily distracted. You're going to easily be taken off the course. You're going to easily get caught up in all sorts of things that will keep you from God's purpose. You have to keep focused. God, you know what God wants you to do, then you need to keep focused. You don't ever take your eyes off of God's plan for your life. How many young people have been called to the Lord's work? And I've seen this, if I've seen this one time, I've seen it 100 times, maybe 200 times. Young person gets called to the ministry, goes to Bible college, and stays out to make money so he can go to Bible college. And then what do? Buy a car, and then they buy, you know, well, this is old time, a stereo, and then they buy this, and then they buy that. And guess what? They don't go back to Bible college. Why? They lost their focus. You got to keep your focus. Now think about the Lord. He's tempted to the devil. And the devil says, you know, if you're the Son of Man, turn this bread into stone. Well, the if there is a particular class condition that means since you're the Son of God, turn this bread into stone. I know you're the Son of God. Just turn this bread. Just prove it. What is he trying to do? Take his eyes off the cross. Right? Take his eyes off the cross. And that's what the devil wants to do, take our eyes off of God's plan for our life. You know, I remember a very significant statement that an old-time preacher said to me once. It says, young men that graduate from Bible college and don't press into the ministry, but kind of dawdle around after they go, they never make it. Why? Because if you're going to serve God, you have to keep your focus. And you can't let anything come in the way of God's plan for your life. It has to be a focus. And you know, people who have a purpose in their life are focused. Now, along that line, we could say people who are focused also have an easier time to be victorious. They're an easier time to be victorious. The Lord kept his focus on the cross. The devil wanted him to take his eyes off of the cross, and he wanted him to what? Sin. Right? And you know, a person who has purpose can see what the sin, the temptation to sin is. It's the devil's subtle way to get us off of our purpose of life. You know, parents need to have purpose in what they're doing. You know, it's just not just, well, whatever happens, there's got to be a purpose. Paul preached about that. That was you, Paul, right? Or Philip, one of you guys. And preached about, you know, that God's plan for parents is to aim their children towards the Lord's work. You know, we're all under the Great Commission. So there's a purpose. And then lastly, this is very simple, but when we have a purposeful life, we will end up with a successful life. We'll end up with a successful life. Now, what is success? Well, simply, success is being able to stand before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Success is for the Lord to say, you know, this is what my plan for your life was, and you did it. Obviously, in His strength and His grace and His Spirit. But who is unsuccessful in life? The person, doesn't matter what they do or what they accomplish, but if they don't fulfill God's purpose for their life, they aren't successful, are they? And you know, there's the whole issue of what will make our life successful. When we stand before God and we say, "Lord, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course." What? His course. His plan for our life. So essential that we understand from the Bible God's purpose for our lives and His purpose in our life. And that's what we keep ahead of us. God's purpose. Keep focused on it. And don't let the devil distract you, and don't let anything come into your life that will distract you from God's purpose for your life. Because when we are distracted, that is when sin comes in, and that's when we fail, and we can even lose God's plan for our life. And the end of life is really determined by how we can stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, I did and I completed your purpose for my life." And He does have a purpose for all our lives. Let's have some prayer. Lord, we thank you for the great truth of your word, that you have a purpose, Lord, in saving us. You have a purpose in our life as a Christian, in your work. And Lord, I pray that you will challenge us tonight to realize that there's a spiritual battle over our life of whether we are truly fulfilling and in the center of your will. And Lord, I pray for those tonight, young people. They are just, the some are just floating around, Lord. They're just tossed to and fro by life because they don't have a purpose. Maybe they're not saved, but certainly not surrendered to you. I pray that, Lord, that adults tonight would focus on what is your purpose for their life and not be distracted by all the just the things of staying alive that can replace your plan. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And even tonight, I pray there would be a refocusing of certain lives, Lord, tonight, on what your will is, and to realize that life's success is all centered around fulfilling your purpose. And that's where the real battle is. Our heads are bowed and eyes